Our next guest is General Kevin Schneider, and he is with the he's the leader of the Pacific Air Forces. And I don't know if you saw it on the stream or not, but when the intro came in and said you wouldn't believe the view, he had a big smile on his face because before we came on the air, he said, "I've just been at ground level this whole time. This is a great view." So, General, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
Good. You arrived yesterday, your first time here. Your initial impressions, I think I already know, by the smile and the gleam in your eyes.
No, it's been fantastic, and I've been a part of military air shows for years, but the vibe is different here, and the scope and scale is just absolutely magnificent. And even showing up yesterday when I did, you can really tell just that this is a massive undertaking and operation, but at the same time, it's warm, it's inviting, it's welcoming, and it's encouraging. It's great to be a part of it.
What was the inspiration for you to get into the Air Force and particularly into pilot training?
Yeah, it is a long story. I'll try to make it brief. Two of my earliest memories in life had to do with aviation.
Okay.
And the first, I was probably about 5 years old, my father got me a glider ride. We lived in Hawaii at the time, and I ended up in a glider up at Dillingham Airfield up on the north shore of Oahu, and I was on his lap in the back seat with the pilot up in the front, and I just remember just the exhilaration of that event and just being, you know, looking down on the island, you know, just the freedom. And the other one was also, about that same time in my life, he took me over to Kaneohe, and I got to see a military air show, and I got to see the Blue Angels perform. And again, just thought that was the coolest thing.
But the Navy didn't get you. The Air Force did.
No, yeah, even though my father was a career Navy, I did not have an inclination to pursue that. And I'm grateful to my father. He knew I wanted to be a pilot. He knew I was inclined towards the military. And he encouraged me. We had in our neighborhood in Northern Virginia, had a lot of Navy pilots and Air Force pilots. And he encouraged me to talk to them to get views and perspectives of their experiences in their life. But I think it was ultimately my father, I think, kind of nudged me towards the Air Force.
Okay. The Pacific Air Forces is the featured command at this year's show. Kind of give us an overview of what that the Pacific Air Force entails.
Yeah, and let me start with a word of thanks. And I really appreciate the opportunity for Pacific Air Forces to be the featured command and to highlight what it is that we do. And just briefly, about 46,000 men and women in uniform. Their area of responsibility is 52% of the surface of the earth. So the boundaries of the area in which we operate and have responsibility goes from the west coast of India to the west coast of the United States, from the Bering Straits to Antarctica. And previous commanders have said, you know, Hollywood to Bollywood, polar bears to penguins. It is a massive operation that is about 100 million square miles of responsibility.
Wow.
By comparison, the mainland United States is 3 million square miles.
What surprises you most about the command, aside from the size, when you took over?
Let me start with what impresses me most are
okay.
The men and women that are out there doing the job every day and really getting after it. Their grit, determination, and innovation is energy gaining for me. What surprises me is it's just the diversity of operations. So all the way from, you know, Fairbanks, Alaska, and the brutal conditions of operating in the winter, mm-hmm. you know, down to Guam, in terms of the heat, humidity, tropical storms. You know, we do that. Our airmen do that every day, and then deployed in that theater, you know, again, from north to south and from east to west. It is 24/7, 365 in some of the most challenging conditions where there is not a lot of room to operate airplanes or maybe not a lot of real estate from which to take off and land.
Okay. What kind of operations do you oversee?
It runs the gamut. So every day there are intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance operations, again, to maintain peace and stability, and to ensure the prosperity of the region. There's humanitarian assistance, disaster relief, there's cargo missions, there's building partner capacity, there's exercises that we do with fighters, that we do with mobility aircraft, that we do with others that help allies and partners in the region either grow their capability or continue to work to team with us that we can problem solve together.
As a fighter pilot, that's your background. How have you seen technology change the way airmen operate through the years?
Yeah, well, and we could talk for a great deal on that one. And I just want the platform I grew up in primarily, which the F-16. You know, when I first got into it in 1990 to where it is today, you know, just the sensors and the suite of equipment that we put on that, you know, far more capable and interconnected with other platforms. So when I grew up, your situational awareness was largely gained by those sensors that you had, whether it was your Mark I eyeball or your radar or the pods. And now you can share that information with others. Others can share it with you, and you build a much better understanding of the environment in which you're operating. And I'd say even at the human level, it's the men and women that are out there that are figuring out how to make those connections and to solve those problems. And being able to innovate solutions fairly rapidly.
Good. We normally concentrate on pilots because that's kind of why we're here, but there's so many other aspects to your command that a young person being here today might think, well, I'm not sure I want to be a fighter pilot, or maybe I don't think my eyes are good enough, but there's a vast majority or variety of ways to be involved.
Yes, there absolutely are. A piece of wisdom that a former commander once gave me, and he reminded me that, you know, about almost 90 to 95% of the United States Air Force does not wear flight suits.
Right.
And for every mission that I would fly or operate, there is a massive team that enables that. You know, I'm just, you know, the pilot is, you know, the last piece of that, you know, very complex puzzle. You know, all the maintainers who are out there turning wrenches on some, you know, state-of-the-art technology, highly capable aircraft that are making them run, making them fly, and getting them in the airborne. It's the logistics and sustainment piece that enables all of that. You know, the intelligence that provides for it, and then all the what I would call the base operations support that run our bases, our power projection platforms, to the force support, the people that take care of airmen and families. It is civil engineers, you name it. It is a massively complex operation that runs every day in a myriad of locations.
Is the when the and I know you mentioned all the airmen who serve under you, but is there another aspect of the Pacific Air Forces that stands out that you think people should know about?
Yeah, I guess there's this is another one you could go in a lot of different directions. Sure. And I think I'll talk about allies and partners and just the interactions that we have with those around the region. You know, I think the security situation that we face today continues to evolve. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like-minded allies and partners, you know, friends continue to work with us to find ways that we can solve those solutions. So I think, you know, American airmen out there working with other nations' airmen, you know, builds those bonds, builds those capabilities. And so any problem we face or any problem we deal with, we're dealing as a team, standing shoulder to shoulder.
Good. How do the individual air forces, there are several of them, right? How do you all interact and I guess, maintain your missions and communicate with each other?
I have regular dialogue with the air chiefs around the region. In fact, we just had a massive gathering in May with the air chiefs from around the region, and Europe also participated, so we talk at our level. A lot of it really comes down to exercises, you know, whether it's run by the United States Air Force or run by, you know, the Royal Australian Air Force is running a big exercise right now with 20 different countries from the region, and we participate and provide, you know, F-35s for that event. But it's really, the exercise program and schedule, and we, within PACAF, we do about 45 exercises a year, most of them based with fighter aircraft. Others are based with mobility aircraft that not everyone has to look like the United States Air Force. You know, small nations, you know, like Papua New Guinea, who have smaller or limited capability, still has a role to play in coming together and building that teamwork.
Good. You've, as you mentioned, you flew the F-16. You've flown the F-22. Is there some aspect between those two aircraft that, just stands out to you and it says, "Yep, this is a great airplane."
They all are, and it just is one of those when F-16, F-15E, F-22. It's like, you know, one, it's the thrust produced by the motors, which continues to be staggering. And the technology, the pilot vehicle, you know, interaction, and just the capability. I mean, they are cutting edge, leading edge, incredible technology, incredible platforms that are, you know, are used by our men and women.
Good. You have mentioned a couple of times about other previous commanders,
yeah,
that have been obviously mentors for you. But is there something that you've learned from your younger airmen that has helped form your leadership style?
I think keeping the lines of communication open, okay, I think is probably, you know, step one. And just there's still a lot to learn from the younger airmen, and I do appreciate their problem solving and the ingenuity and the innovation that they bring. Because, you know, I grew up, you know, with a certain the training programs were the training programs, and they are probably very linear. And what I see with today's youth is maybe a little bit less linear, a little bit more open source, you know, going in different directions, you know, at the same time. And I think just being able to keep that broader perspective, which I think the younger generation does well, has been helpful to me.
Good. Any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
Other than to say thanks. It's been an awesome environment. Really, thank you for the hospitality and for the men and women who are wearing the uniform of the Air Force and the PACAF patches that are out here, I think, over by the Boeing Pavilion. Really, thank you for the hospitality and the welcome you've provided.
Good. Well, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. General Kevin Schneider from the Pacific Air Forces, our featured command here at AirVenture Oshkosh 2026. From the stand, this is EIA Radio.